But just like that lady, many times, you know, what that is just a substitute, isn't it? We're looking for something that will satisfy the longing of the human heart, the human spirit. And there's only one thing that can do that. In Isaiah 9, verse 6, it says, "For to us a child is born, and to us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end." Hallelujah. Then in John's Gospel, very familiar portion of Scripture, verse 16, says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." This morning, I want to share with you what I believe are five of the greatest needs of the human heart, and that there is only one gift. It's not found at Macy's. It's not found at Saks Fifth Avenue. It's not found at any of the places that you may shop. It's not because you get the biggest plasma screen TV this year or any of those things. But I want to tell you, I know, it's But I want to share with you five great needs of the human heart that this greatest gift that's ever been given. And listen, you know, we talk all the time, you know, you hear them market, you know, this slogan, you know, the gift that keeps on giving. Well, I got news for you. There's only one that does. That's the gift that God gave in Jesus Christ. And in him, all the needs and desires of the human spirit are met. There are five great needs, and I want to talk about, first of all, the need to be loved and accepted unconditionally. The need to be loved. This is the greatest need and the greatest unfulfilled need in most people's lives over all the face of the earth. If you looked at it, even if you went to a third world country where they had nothing, where there was poverty, where they went to bed hungry, I want to tell you something, as terrible as that is, there is a greater condition of the human heart that is more awful, and that is this, to never know what it means to be loved and accepted unconditionally. This is the great cry of the humanity of all the nations. It doesn't matter where you go, what language they speak, what color their skin is, what their education is, or the lack thereof. One of the greatest cries of the human heart is the need to be loved and accepted unconditionally. You and I were made to be loved. We were made to be loved. And without that, there is an empty place there that nothing else can fill. Although, Lord knows, we've tried it, haven't we? Man, I'm telling you, humanity, it's just amazing the ingenuity and the creativity of humanity. But when it's turned in the wrong direction, it becomes our destruction, doesn't it? And many people have tried to fill this spot with other things. We've tried to, you know, some have tried to fill it just like this woman is, you know. Here it is. All of a sudden, I'm feeling lonely. I'm feeling unloved. What's the cure? I know what it is. I'm going to go shopping. Or maybe it's a guy, I'm going to go out on the golf course, or whatever it might be, or I'm going to go fishing. Nothing wrong with those things, but many times what we're trying to do is we're trying to fill an empty place there because God made us to be loved. If you look in the book of Genesis, when God made man, one of the first things you see there is God said, you know, it's not good for man to be alone. And so he created him a helpmeet. And then out of that came what? Came a family. A family. You know, God's idea, before there was a church, before there was any other institution or organization, you know what was in God's mind? He said, I'm going to create a family. A family. Not only a family for man, but a family that God can enjoy himself. You know, God, the Bible uses this description, this adjective about God, and Jesus especially brought it home, that he is a father. That he is a father. And you know, there's so many people that didn't have a father growing up. Maybe you were like me. My father, you know, and I'm not trying to be critical of him, but my father, you know, he was an alcoholic. He was abusive. He couldn't hold a job. He couldn't provide for his family. And so, you know, I grew up and I didn't know what it was like to have a father. Some of y'all been in that condition, haven't you? You grew up like that. But I'm so glad that I can tell you, even if you grew up without a father, an earthly father, I got good news for you. There is a heavenly father. and He will love you no matter what. He will be there no matter what. You say, but you don't know what all I've done. Listen, honey, you haven't done anything the rest of us hadn't done. Come on. And here's the thing. God loves you not because of the things you've done, but in spite of the things that you have done. Boy, I am so glad. I am so glad that there is a Father God, and He will love us and accept us unconditionally. Turn over, to, if you will, in your Bible. We're going to read here in 1 John. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. It says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us. Oh, I love that word lavish, don't you? I mean, what do you think of when you think of the word lavish? Boy, I'm telling you, it's like more than you need, isn't it? I mean, it's exorbitant. It's enormous. He said He's lavished. He didn't say He gave us, He dishes out His love with an eyedropper. He lavished it on us that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. I want to tell you something. If you put your faith in Jesus Christ, I want to tell you something. God is your Father. You are His child right now. You are His child right now. You say, but what if I've never made Jesus Lord of my life? Listen, I want to tell you something. God loves you anyway. He still loves you. But here's the thing. If you want to embrace the fullness of this love, if you want to enjoy the depth of this love and the goodness of God, here's the thing to do. Embrace Him through His Son, Jesus. You know, we read and when we're celebrating the birth of Jesus. And you know, and I know in all the holiday fanfare and everything that's going on, sometimes we can lose what the whole reason for the season is about. And it's about this, that God loves, that God cares, that the great Father heart of God could not look down on humanity, look down on you where you're hurting and suffering, where you feel so lonely and maybe you feel like nobody cares. God could not look at that without His great heart being moved. He says, I've got to do something. I've got to do something. I've got to do something. Jesus, we got to do something. And Jesus says, I'll go. I'll go. And He came and was born in a manger so that you and I might know the love of God. In 1 John 4, you're right there, verse 9 and 16. I want to read a couple of verses there. Says this. It says, this is how God showed His love to us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. You know, it's great to hear the words, I love you, isn't it? Anybody here like to hear that? Boy, I like to hear that, don't you? But as great as that is, as wonderful as it is to hear those words, and we should say them often. Are you listening? We should say them often. We should say them often. Listen, even more important than that is the demonstration of love. Isn't that right? Is the demonstration of love. And you know, there's not a day that goes by that we don't have an opportunity to demonstrate the love of God. Isn't that true? To people. To demonstrate the love of God to people. To show them that God loves, that God cares, that we love and that we care. Amen? Amen? Verse 16 in 1 John here says this. It says, and so we know and rely on the love God has for us. Let me ask you this morning. Are you relying on the love that God has for you? Have you forgotten maybe that God loves you and cares about you? That you are important, that you are valuable to God, so valuable that He sent His one and only Son. And you know, thank God that Jesus was born, and He was born in a manger, but He grew up. He became a man, and this man lived a perfect life, and He went to a place called Calvary, and there at Calvary, He laid down His life for you and I. He took all of your wrongdoing, all of my wrongdoing. He took all of that upon Himself. He paid the price for it. And it says here, He says that we need to rely on the love of God. Anybody besides me, you ever missed it? Nobody ever has, have you? Just me. You ever missed it? You ever said something you oughtn't to say? Did something you oughtn't to do? showed an attitude that wasn't Christ-like. Anybody ever done that? Don't leave me up here by myself. And you know, and many times, you know, the first thing, man, we feel that remorse, we feel that guilt. Here's the thing. And you know, we think, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? And here's what we need to learn to do, is we need to learn to rely on love. Love will make it right. The love of God will make it right. Whatever maybe is wrong in your life, God, the love of God will make it right. Because here's the thing, God doesn't just say, I love you, and sit up in heaven with warm fuzzies. Really, He did something. He sent His Son. His Son did something. His Son not only preached that God loves you, He proved it at a place called Calvary. He proved it. He said, the Bible says, greater love has no man than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. And that's what Jesus did. And I want to encourage you this Christmas season, you can rely on the love of God. Listen, no matter what you may do, no matter what you may have done, I want to tell you what, it does not take away, it does not lessen the love that God has for you. Not by one iota. God will never stop loving you. God will never give up on you. God will never turn His back on you. That's the message of Christmas. In Romans chapter 8, I love this portion of Scripture here. And you know, I know at this time, you know, in the natural and all, times are tough right now. People are going through difficult times. Some people have lost their jobs. Some people have lost their savings. All kinds of things are going on. And you know, and it's easy for me to sit up here and say, you know, God loves you and everything. But you're saying, Pastor, you just don't know. You don't know how I'm hurting. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know all that's happening. And that's true. But I'll tell you, there is one that does. And His name is Jesus. And He cares about you. Romans 8:35, the Apostle Paul wrote these great words about the love of God. He said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither present nor future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I want to tell you, Christmas is about this. God loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it. God loves you. God cares about you. Whether you're hurting, He said, it doesn't matter. Maybe you're in hardship. Maybe you're in difficulty. Maybe you're in trouble. But He said, remember this, that cannot separate you. That cannot cut off the love of God. There's no place too dark that God's love cannot penetrate. There's nothing that you've done that God's love cannot bring forgiveness to you. And that's the second great need. The first is to be loved and accepted unconditionally. And the second is the need to be forgiven. You know, I said a minute ago, any of you ever done something you oughtn't to do? And pretty much all of us raised our hand. You know what? Sooner or later, you're going to need to be forgiven. Aren't you? You're going to need to be forgiven, not only by God, but you're going to need to be forgiven by others. And you know what? Others are going to need to be forgiven by you. And I want to tell you what, I really believe this, because forgiveness flows from the love of God. There is nothing in our lives, no relationship problem that cannot be resolved by forgiveness. Forgiveness is the key to resolving every relationship. If there's a problem, if there's a strain, there is nothing that forgiveness cannot do. You say, but you don't know how they hurt me. I know it, but God does. And I want to tell you something. What God is saying to us at this Christmas season is that just as He forgave us, that we need to what? Pass it on. I think there was a movie sometime back that either the title or at least the theme of it was Pass It On. And y'all remember that? Pass it on, you know. Pass on a good deed. Pass on something good. Well, I want to tell you what. This is a good thing to pass on. Is to pass on the forgiveness. The Bible says this in Romans chapter 5. Listen to this. It says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, in other words, forgiven, We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The first thing forgiveness will do for you, it'll bring peace. It'll bring peace. Jesus gave a parable. He taught a parable. And in this parable, there were two people who owed a debt. One man owed a debt equivalent to millions of dollars. And it says that he could not pay the debt. And so the king brought him before him and said, sell him, sell his family, sell everything he owns so that I can at least recoup some of my loss. And it says the man fell down on his face and said, be merciful to me and I will repay you. And it said the king was moved by this man and it says he freely forgave him everything. Wow. You know what? That's the way God is. We owed a debt that we could not pay. I mean, there's no way you couldn't add up all the wrongs you've done. You don't even remember all of them that you've done. I don't remember all of them that I've done. If we started to, even if they were tallied up though, there is absolutely no way. We're just like that man. It is an impossible debt we could not pay. There is no way we could pay it back to God. And God in Christ Jesus said, I forgive you everything. You know what that brings? Peace. 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 You know what? Most of the world labors under guilt. They labor under condemnation. And they may not even realize that's what it is. But I'm telling you, guilt, the guilt of sin, the guilt of condemnation, all of that is like a weight that weighs us down, that weighs us down, that steals the joy of life in living from us. But the Bible says that in Christ Jesus, there is forgiveness. And now we have peace with God. I got good news for you this morning. God's not mad at you. God is not mad at you. He's not out to get you. He is out to get you, but not in the way that the world says. He's out to get you in a good way. He's out to get you and love you. He's out to get you and forgive you. He's out to get you and lift you. He's out to give you and help you and heal you. He's out to get you all right in a good way. But God's not mad at you. He's not waiting. Okay, just wait till they mess up one more time and I've got them now. No, listen. In Christ Jesus, the Bible says that all of the judgment that should have fallen on you and I, it fell on Him. It fell on Jesus. Amen. God poured out His wrath and His judgment that should have come to us. He poured it out on Jesus. And now, by faith in Him, what? We have peace because we have forgiveness. I want to tell you something. If you're a person that hasn't learned to forgive, I want to encourage you, this is a good time to start. Because when the Bible teaches us, the principle is this, when I hold unforgiveness in my heart, in my life, it brings a bitterness to my soul. It brings it brings something into me that even can begin to affect my health and certainly my mind. And I can't find rest and I can't find peace and my heart is troubled. And it's all because what? I will not release a hurt. Anybody ever been stung by a bee in your life? You know, when a bee stings you, you know, not only is it do you feel the prick of the sting, but something is injected into you, isn't it? There's a poison that's in that sting. And I'm telling you what, if it's a hornet or one of them big old red wasps or one of those yellow jackets, I'm telling you what. Whoo! You can feel it, can't you? There is an irritation there. It reds, and depending on your body makeup, if you're allergic to it, man, you can really have some problems, isn't it? But you know what? When we are hurt by other people, it's the same way. We are stung, aren't we? Anybody ever done you wrong? How'd it feel? It hurt, didn't it? Just like that bee hitting a stand. And something is injected in us. When the hurts of life, when things happen to us, it may be through people, it may be through circumstance. Sometimes it may even be people that are the most important people in our life. They hurt us. Isn't that right? And that sting is there. And here's the thing. If you don't learn to forgive, you know what's going to happen? That hurt there is going to fester. It's going to get worse. There's going to come, as bad as the hurt is, it's going to get worse because you're going to get bitter. You're going to go around rehearsing that thing. There's going to come a heaviness on your spirit, on your soul. And I've got good news for you. The way to get rid of that, to get all that poison out of you, to make sure that gets out of you, is to do this one simple thing, and that is learn to forgive. Learn to forgive. Listen, if God's forgiven you of millions, you can forgive those few dollars of hurt somebody else has given you. And you know what? Forgiveness breaks down walls. It breaks down walls. You know, I know of people at Christmas time, they don't spend time with their family because, you know, there's certain family members or maybe, you know, they haven't spoken to them in years. You know? And a lot of times the hurt happened around Christmas time. So when Christmas time comes, man, that thing just comes right back up. They did something, they said something, they hurt me, they didn't do something. I was expecting something from them and I didn't get it and they did me wrong and all of this kind of thing. And you haven't spoken for years. I want to encourage you today. Listen, if that's the case, listen, today before we leave, we're going to exercise this powerful thing called forgiveness. And we're going to release people, family members. We're going to release forgiveness toward them today. And what I would encourage you to do is you get home, you pick up that phone, you call them or you email them or someone. Way you get in contact with them and you begin the healing process by forgiving. Just saying, I forgive you. I forgive you. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. You know, sometimes we need to get the ball rolling, don't we? We need to just step up and say, you know what? You know, I know there's something between you and I. There's something here. How many of you know you can tell when there's an elephant in the room, can't you? You know what I mean by that term? You know, we all try to ignore the elephant. There's no elephant there. You know, we have to walk way around him, but you know, he's not there. And sometimes the elephant in the room is that strain in a relationship, isn't it? It's that hurt that's there. We both know it's there, but for some reason, you know, it could be pride. A lot of times it is. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. You know, sometimes it is. Well, especially if they did me wrong. Bless God. I'm just going to wait, you know, if they ever come around. If they ever come to their senses, Lord, then we'll get this thing straightened out. No, listen, you know what we need to do? We need to initiate it. Just come and say, look, you know, I know there's a strain here. Something's been wrong. I want you to forgive me if I've done anything wrong. You say, but what if I haven't done anything? Get it going. What's more important, your pride or people? Your pride or that relationship with that loved one. Let's release forgiveness. Amen. When we release forgiveness, you'll release guilt, condemnation, bitterness. You ever looked at the word and broken it down, the word disease? You can hyphenate it there. Dis-ease. D-I-S. Put a little hyphen there in your mind. E-A-S-E. Dis-ease. 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 And you know, there are a lot of dis-eases that are not necessarily in your flesh. They can be in your emotions. They can be in the soulish part. There can be where maybe the reason you're not sleeping good, you got dis-ease in an area in your life. And you need to what? You need to forgive. You need to release. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Just release that person, release that coworker, release that relative, release that person. What? And get rid of the dis-ease in your life. Third one is the third need, this greatest gift that God gave in Jesus, is the need to belong to a family. Need to belong to a family. God created in all of us a desire and a need to belong to a family. God made Adam, as I mentioned, and he said it's not good for Adam to be alone. Now you think about this. When God made Adam, there was no sin. Are you listening to me? The earth was perfect. He was in a perfect place called Eden. He had a perfect body, a perfect relationship, an unhindered relationship with God. Everything was perfect. And yet in the midst of that, God said it's still not good. It's not as good as it can be. And he said the way that it's going to be best, he says, is I'm going to put him with a family. I'm going to create a family. And you know, what is the gospel of the kingdom all about? It's God wanting again to have a family. Isn't that right? And he doesn't just want of, you know, here's the thing. God's heart is so big. We were listening to the news the other day. How many children did they have? 18? 18. Y'all see that? Anybody see that? 18 children. Oh, my God. And I thought I was a saint. 18 children. But you know, and they said this, you know, that sounds so strange to the natural person, but they said this, they said, and we'd like to have more. Boy, that's some of us have a hard time wrapping our mind around that, don't we? But you know, the Father heart of God is so big that he says, I want a big family. I want a big family. I don't want just two or three. I want a big family. And I don't want just one color. I want all the colors. I want them all up there. I don't want just the English speakers. I want those Chinese speakers. I want those Arabic speakers. I want all the, you know, he wanted a big family. And Jesus, you remember Jesus said, he said, I'm going away to prepare a place. Well, man, him and the angels have been up there working nearly 2,000 years. Boy, there must be some, that's a lot of construction going on. God must be preparing for a big family. And you know, it's so important. This is why we encourage you. You know, you need not only your natural family, of course, but also you need the family of God. This is why I believe one of the important reasons why God has local church fellowships. You know why? Because we need one another. We need one another. Now, I know sometimes in our humanity we can say, bless God, I don't need anybody but Jesus. But you know what? That's really not true, is it? That's not true. As good as you are just with you and Jesus, just like Adam was, as good as he was, well, just him and God hanging out, God says, hey, you need more. You need more. You need a family. You need to belong. You say, yeah, but if I get a family, I'm going to have more problems. I'm going to have more things that I'm going to have to deal with. Listen, how else are you going to grow? How else are you going to grow in love? How are you going to grow in love? You know, I tell people this all the time, humorously. You know, when I'm by myself, I'm telling you what. I just get along great. And it's just me. Man, I'm the greatest person by myself to get along with you ever been around. Or not been around in this case. How about with you? Isn't that great? I mean, when you're by yourself and everything, man, hey, no problems, right? You're just a great, you know, we wonder why everybody don't want to be around us. We're just great. But you know, it's amazing. As soon as I start getting around people, all of a sudden something's wrong with them. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Something's wrong with them. You know? But here's the thing. With family, what is it? God, how else am I going to learn to love? How else am I going to learn to forgive? How else am I going to learn to the joy of receiving and giving of love? Unless what? We have a family. We're in the family. And that's what a family is all about. A family is to nurture me and for me to nurture them. Amen? And you know, when you get around people and you start bumping into one another and, you know, there's a little bit of friction there, isn't there? I mean, you know, rub your hands together, you can feel the friction, can't you? You get around people, there's going to be friction, isn't there? That's why, what? But that's what pushes us to what? Into the love of God. I've got to walk in love. Because after all, you know how you are. You know how you are. And so we have to learn to walk in love, don't we? We have to learn how to walk in forgiveness. Psalm 68, I want to read this scripture here. We're talking about the greatest needs, this greatest gift meets. God sent it to meet our needs. In Psalm 68, verse 8. How y'all doing out there? Merry Christmas to you. Psalm 68. This is good. But this is good. Listen, these are our needs, and we all know it. We do. And Jesus is the one who meets our needs. In Psalm 68, in verse 6, it says, God sets the lonely in families. He leads forth the prisoners with singing. God sets the lonely in families. You know what? God wants to bring you into His family. Maybe in the natural you've got a big family, but you know what? You can still be lonely. Because here's the thing, the heart that is disconnected from God's love is still lonely. You may be like this big family. You may have 17 siblings, but yet you will still be lonely. Because what? The human heart, the condition of the human heart, can only be fulfilled when it is connected to the Father heart of God, to the family of God. And God's declaration at Christmas time by sending His Son Jesus this, He said, I'm going to set the lonely person in families. You don't have to be lonely anymore. You don't have to face the world by yourself anymore. You don't have to face the perplexities of life by yourself anymore. You're going to have a family. Isn't it true when anybody ever had a crisis in your life? That's a rhetorical question, isn't it? But in times of crisis, in times of trouble, isn't it great when you have a family? Isn't it good you got somebody? You know, maybe they don't know the answers either, but at least you've got somebody there that cares. Somebody there that believes. Somebody there that will support you. Somebody there that will walk with you through the darkness while God brings you out. Isn't that a good thing? And see, even more so with the family of God. This is what it's all about. And you know what? I've found this out. You'll have multiple opportunities, okay, to come up with every kind of reason why you don't want to stay with the family. Isn't that true? You know, there's so much divorce in our nation nowadays. And you know, it's gotten to the point to where the divorce rate in the church is the same as the divorce rate those who are not even in the church. What's that all about? Well, maybe it's this. Maybe we haven't learned to forgive. We haven't learned how important a family is. And you know, as tragic as that is, there are many people, many believers that have had a divorce from a local church. Somebody hurt them. Welcome to the human race. Somebody did something wrong to them. Welcome to the human race. They were misunderstood. Welcome to the human race. They didn't love me the way I felt like I should have been. Welcome to the human race. Isn't that true, guys? Can everybody identify with those things? Yeah, not meaning to, we've done that to people and we've had it done to us. So what is the key? What is the glue? What's going to keep us together? As a family, we got to learn to walk in love. We got to say, you know what? Family is more important to me than me having my own way. More than pride, more than anything, keeping a family together is what it's all about. And God is committed to His family. Are you listening to me? The scriptures say this, that God's married to the backslider. You know what? Maybe because you've hurt, you were hurt by somebody in the church, or, you know, by the preacher or by this one or by that one. And maybe it's caused you to just, you know, you don't go to church anymore. Maybe once in a while, like on Christmas or Easter or something, but you don't really go anymore. You're not really have a relationship with God because you've been hurt. I want to tell you something. God is committed to you. God is committed to you. And here's the thing. God, He says He sets the lonely in families. And I want to encourage you, come on back home. Because you know what? God says He is committed to you. And listen, you know, the family of God, how many of you know we're not perfect yet? That wasn't a revelation, was it? We're not perfect yet. And you know, we have, you know, some areas, you know, one or two where God's still working on us. And it's probably that one or two areas that you just happen to bump into, you know, where God had knocked off the edge. I still kind of got a barb over there. And you kind of run into that thing, and I'm sorry that you ran into it. You know, God's still working on me. But if he did everything He needed to do overnight, I don't think I could handle it. How about you? It's a process. But here's the thing. Let's get committed to family. I'm committed to family. I don't care how bad family messes up. Bless God, they're family. They're family. They're family. There's nothing you can do is going to stop being family. You're family. You're God's family. We're God's family. We're committed to one another. Amen. The fourth thing is the need to be valued. You know, in the world, our value is based on our utility. You know, what can you do for me? What can you produce for the company? What can you do? What can you do here? What can you do there? You know, and we value you if you can do something for me. If you can help me get a leg up. If you can help me. If you can open a door for me. If you can do something for me. If you can produce for the company. Oh, yes, you're valued. But I got news for you. Listen, the true value. And you know, how many know that's a hollow thing? Because you know what it does? As soon as you can't produce that anymore, guess where you're going to be? You're going to be on the garbage heap. Because what? That's all your value is what you can do for me. But God says He values you in a different way. Turn back over to the book of Romans. I want to read a couple of scriptures there. Romans 8. Romans 8. God values you. He values you because He created you. Are you listening? He created you. The Bible says that He created us in His image. He created you in His image. You are God's creation. And He values you right where you are. He values you. And in verse 31 it says, what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, that is the value. God forever declared His value by sending His Son Jesus. He declared your value. He said, you're valuable to me. He didn't send an angel. He didn't just send a prophet. He didn't send somebody like that. He sent the very best. He sent Himself in the form of His Son Jesus. He sent His very self. He came down in a babe, took on flesh, went to a place called Calvary, and forever declared, you are valuable to me. He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Wow. You are valuable to God. You're created in His image. Listen, you don't have to run around and try to get somebody else to affirm you. Are you listening? Man, I'm telling you what. You don't want to get on that treadmill. If you've ever been there, trying to please everybody, trying to get everybody's affirmation. You know, God said something a long time ago to me. He said, son, he said, don't allow the opinions of others to define who you are. I'm going to say that again. Don't allow the opinions of others to define who you are. God defines who you are. You are valuable. You are created in His image. He loves you so much. And He said, if He gave us His best, how much more will He not what? Freely give us everything. I'm going to read you another scripture here about your value to God. Matthew 10. Listen to this. Matthew 10, verse 29. We're talking about the greatest gift. He says, Jesus speaking, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Hallelujah. God's got less to keep up with me than He used to. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. What did He say there? He said, don't be afraid. Now, you think about it. When's the last time? Well, maybe I shouldn't go there. But you know, He was talking about something as insignificant, what? As two sparrows. Two sparrows falling to the ground. I mean, when's the last time you really were worried about how many sparrows were dying? It's been a while since I thought about that. How about you? If ever. What was Jesus saying? He said, if God concerns himself with the very least thing, the very least thing, two sparrows. He said, if God knows and is aware of that, how much more you who are created in his image, you who are a part of his family, you whom he gave his son to die for, how much more will he not be aware of everything that touches your life? Everything. You say, well, you know, I had people say, well, I'm not going to pray about that. That's such a small thing. I said, listen, pray about it. God cares about it. God cares about it. From the least to the greatest. Didn't the Bible say, cast all your care? You know, sometimes we say, well, I'm going to give God the big things, but the little things, you know, I'll handle it. No, he said, give them all. That's how much God values you. You are valued. And he said, you are much more valuable than what? Many sparrows. Because you're made in the image of God. The fifth and last thing, we're talking about the greatest gift, meeting the needs of the human heart. Pardon me. And that is the need to have a future. More people today are worried about the future than have ever been. Especially with all the stuff going on in the economy and the loss of jobs. And you hear about this and you hear about that and you hear about this and you hear about that. Pretty soon, everybody is nervous. Everybody is fearful. Everybody is worried. What's the future going to bring? What's going to happen? Am I going to be next? Am I going to lose my house? Am I going to lose my job? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? Isn't that true? John 14, Jesus said this. Listen, I've got good news for you. Your future is held in trust by God. And that's one place. Heaven is one place where things are held in trust that increase in value and have never had a decrease. Amen. And John 14 verse 1 says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Notice what he said. He said, don't let them be. What's the understood subject here? You. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Now, how are we going to do that? Trust in God. Boy, so deep, isn't it? Just got through saying, don't let your hearts be troubled. Then he tells us how to do it. Trust in God. Trust also in me. You say, that's just too simple. I know it. Aren't you glad? In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, I am going there to prepare a place for you. Now, what does that tell you? If he's preparing a place for you, that means what? You have a future. You have a destination. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me that you also may be where I am. What is our future? Our future is in God. It's held in trust in God. He said, you trust in me. When you're tempted to fear, your heart tempted to be troubled, he said, what? You trust in me. In Romans 8, Paul said in verse 38 and 39, he said, I am absolutely convinced that neither life nor death, not angels, not demons, not things present, not things to come, nothing shall separate us from the love that is in Christ Jesus, the love of God. And listen, my destiny is to be where he is. My destination is to go where he is. He has prepared a place. There is an expectation in God. That expectation is this, that he's going to bring his family all in one place together at one time. And there, as the great family of God, we will be together with him. Hallelujah. One more scripture before I close. Hebrews 13. We're talking about a secure future. You remember one of the parables that Jesus gave about the building of a man building structures, one on sand and one on rock. And he said, when we build our house on sand, it is things that can change. How many know this? In this world, things are changeable, aren't they? They're changing all the time. They're changing all the time. I mean, Jesus saw this. I mean, the same people, I mean, within a week's time, you know, at the first of the week, they were saying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They were taking their coats off and laying them down for Jesus to walk by. And before the week was out, that same crowd was saying, kill him! Things can change that quick. When we build our lives on the opinions of others or this world system or whatever it is. But he said there was a man who built his life on the rock. And let me tell you something. He said when you build your life on the rock, you still get the wind and you still get the waves. But here's the difference. Your house will stand. And if we build our house on God, on the things of God, on the Word of God, on the love of God, then here's the thing. No matter what life throws at us, we will come through it. Hebrews 13, verse 5 says this. He says, keep your lives free from the love of money. And be content with what you have because God has said, listen to this, God has said, never will I leave you. That's a pretty long time, isn't it? Never will I forsake you. So we may say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? A secure future. We talk about the greatest gift. Meeting the greatest needs of the heart of man. The need to be loved and accepted unconditionally. The need to be forgiven. The need to belong to a family. The need to be valued. And the need to know that my future is secure. Listen, in this time of Christmas, when we talk about a babe in a manger, when we talk about Jesus coming, listen, this is all that this gift has provided. All that this gift has provided. And when you get right down to it, this is something that no amount of money can buy. They can't. It doesn't matter what you get under that tree or what you don't get under that tree this Christmas season. I want to tell you what. If you have Jesus, if you have the greatest gift, then I want to tell you, all of the needs that we've talked about here, the cry of the human heart can be met. The cry of the human heart can be met. And I pray that this Christmas season that you will make that decision if you haven't already. That number one, you'll receive the gift. The Bible calls it the gift of eternal life. It says that whoever will believe and call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, they will be saved. What does that mean? It means they'll be what? Forgiven. That you will embrace this unconditional love. That God, you will embrace the acceptance of God. You will know the peace of God. You will become a part of the family of God. All of the needs of the human condition will be met. Maybe you're here as a believer. Maybe you're already a Christian. But maybe you've been hurt. Maybe you've been wounded. Maybe by a family member. Maybe by somebody in church, in the family of God. But here's the thing. Today, I want to encourage you. Why carry around that poison any longer? Why carry around the resentment? Why carry around that grudge? Why carry around that bitterness anymore? I mean, you know, it's keeping you up at night. It's keeping you from having the joy and the peace of God. Why not just release that person today? As God has forgiven you, can you forgive them? Just let it go. Let it go. Give it to God. Let God work it out in your life. I want to pray this morning before we are dismissed for our fellowship time. I want to pray for you. If you're here this morning and you say, Pastor Norris, I've never received this gift that we're celebrating at Christmas time. I've never really received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I've never believed on Him and asked Him to come into my life and save and forgive me. If that's you, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you and agree with you. Anybody in this room, if you'll lift your hand, just put it up and right back down. I want to pray for you. Anybody in the room? I'm looking. I don't see anybody. All right, for the second thing. If you say, I need to release somebody, I need to forgive. I've been hurt. I've been wounded. somebody has done me wrong. And I've carried that thing around, and I've rehearsed it, and I've nursed it, and it's gotten bigger, and I'm just, every time I think about them, I get mad, I can't sleep, whatever it is, here's what I want you to do. We're going to pray, and you're going to release that person. If that's you anywhere in this room, I want you to put your hand up and then back down real quick, and I'll know what it means. Yeah, hands all over the room, up and down, up and down. Anybody else, up and down. We're going to pray. Would you bow your heads just for a moment? Now, here's the thing. Forgiveness is an act of our will. It's a choice that we make. It's not a feeling. It's not a feeling. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to choose to forgive. As I pray here, I want you to just say to Father God, Father, I'm releasing, and you call their name. I'm releasing them. I'm forgiving them. I declare that I am not going to hold a grudge or anything more. I release them and I forgive them. And I thank you, Lord, that I am going to receive the peace of God in my life. Now, while I pray, use something in words like that. It doesn't have to be just like that. But you release forgiveness toward that person. Father, right now, hands all over this room that need to release and forgive, Father, someone, a family member or a friend or whoever it may be. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we release that person. We release them. We say they owe us nothing, that we're not going to nurse the hurt anymore. We're not going to rehearse the problem anymore. We're going to forgive them. We're going to release them, and we're going to embrace them again and love them. We're going to love that family member. We're going to love that person in the family of God. We're going to love them and embrace them. And we're not going to allow this thing to separate us anymore. I'm not going to allow it to separate me from them anymore. I forgive them in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I release them. I release them. I release them. Now remember, I said forgiveness is not about a feeling. Listen, those old kind of thoughts and feelings try to come back up again. I mean, that's when you got to arrest those thoughts and say, nope, I'm not going to rehearse that anymore. I've forgiven them. I've forgiven them. I've forgiven them. They, just as I am forgiven, I have forgiven them. I've released them. Now, I would encourage you to do this. You reach out to that person. Reach out to that person. If they're somewhere else in the country or where, whatever, as soon as you can, you reach out to them in some way, and you build the bridge back. You let them know that you've forgiven them. Doesn't matter what their reaction is, whether they ever forgive you or not. You forgive them, and you reach out to them. Jesus said this. He said, "Here's what the love of God's about." He said that you even pray for your enemies. Hello. Pray for your enemies. You know that's going to take the love of God. There's not a one of us in our flesh that's going to do that. But listen, by the love of Jesus, we can do it. Christmas. Giving out gifts. Man, Cindy and I, man, I'm telling you what, Lord of mercy. First chance we had was yesterday. We were on a marathon, weren't we? Lord of mercy. I felt like I was in one of those movies, you know. Oh man, from can to can, and buying presents and all that. But you know what? Listen, whether you get the greatest gift under that tree this year or not, listen, make sure you have the gift of God in your life and in your family. And if you listen, and if there is forgiveness, if there is peace, if there is love in your home, I want to tell you what, it really won't matter what's under that tree. It won't matter. It won't matter. Because the things that matter will be there. Amen? Well, stand on your feet. We're going to pray. Now, most of you know, we have our Christmas meal, fellowship meal in Rego back here. Oh, I forgot y'all got a closing to do. That's good. Sorry, I wasn't looking at my thing. Can I say this before y'all do that, and then y'all end, okay? They got a finale here they're going to sing for you. But We have a meal planned. Of course, a lot of you brought food for it, so you know about it. But if you're visiting, we want to invite you and encourage you. Please come back and enjoy some fellowship and some really good food. Boy, there's some good cooks in this church. I'm telling you, whatever. There's one of them. But enjoy, the fellowship. We do this because, above all things, we believe Christmas is about family. And so we want all the families and the family of God here at Grace and your family and all our families coming together and enjoying all the good things that Christmas signifies and it's all about.